Welcome back. Final hour to go with CriticalHealthNews.com's Ben Fuchs. A toll-free number to call for information, not to get on the show here, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-RADIO, or, again, CriticalHealthNews.com. We will be back with your questions. Tom still has your text and tweets, and we'll do it all this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Ben Fuchs with us, our final hour. These hours go by quickly, Ben, don't they?
That's because there's so much to talk about, George. We could do a whole day on this stuff.
Your speaking engagement now is coming up when?
I'll be in Sacramento at the end of January, January 26th, 27th, and 28th. And you can get more information at criticalhealthnews.com.
And send an email if you want to at bookben@criticalhealthnews.com, and they'll get right back to you with the information. Is this new for you?
Sacramento?
No, traveling and speaking.
Oh, no. I've been doing it for a long time.
You like it?
I absolutely love it. I love meeting people. I love radio. I've been doing radio for many years, but there's nothing like just seeing people, looking at them, helping people, just feeling the love and the gratitude and the appreciation for this kind of information, person to person.
Well, we run every once in a while your pharmacist Ben snippets and the great information there.
Thank you, George.
Okay, back to the phones we go. Let us, speaking of Sacramento, we'll go to Daryl on the wildcard line. Hey, Daryl, go ahead.
Hi, Daryl. Hey, how you guys?
Great.
Yes. Hey, how you doing, Ben? I've been suffering from atrial fibrillation and SVT.
Okay.
And actually, to tell you the truth, I'm scared to do the blazing. I would like to know if there's some natural way I could help.
For the listeners, an ablation is one of the most barbaric medical procedures that actually electrocute the heart. They actually stick electrodes in the heart, run a bunch of electricity through it, and burn the heart, cauterize it. One of the most incredibly barbaric of all the medical procedures you can have done. AFib is a heart in distress, and tachycardia is when the heart moves fast, is a heart in distress. This is so important, Georgia. The body, what we call disease, is really the body freaking out. It's the body in distress. I like to think of the body like a baby. And when we have a sickness or something like AFib, atrial fibrillation, where the heart just shakes, it's like your heart has been traumatized. It's scared, like a little child has been scared. So if you have a child who's scared or a baby who's crying, what do? You nurture the baby. You love the baby. You provide the baby with what it needs, and you take anything that's distressing the baby out of the baby's environment. It's the same with the heart. For AFib, you give the body what it needs. You give the body oxygen. You make sure you give the body electrolytes like potassium.
Magnesium,
exactly. And calcium. You make sure that you keep the sugar out of the body. You make sure you use your omega fatty acids. You make sure you breathe. Just breathing alone can reduce AFib. The next time you feel the AFib, sit on the couch and practice slow, deep breathing. That alone can do it. One of my favorite all-time strategies for reducing AFib or reducing the impact of any health challenge is a hot bath. You know, we have Obamacare and national health insurance. I always tell people we don't need national health insurance. We need national hot tub insurance.
Why does slow breathing, Ben, seem to make AFib go away?
Slow breathing tells the body that all is right in the world. Fast breathing tells the body that there's an emergency. AFib is an emergency. Slow breathing says, hey, everything's good because you get plenty of oxygen. Oxygen, as important as nutrition is, oxygen is the main thing that we need. Nutrition works because it helps the body use oxygen. And oxygen is free. Just sitting on the couch practicing slow, deep breathing costs you nothing.
Well,
and it's one of the best health tools you could use for AFib, for lowering blood pressure, for improving all of the markers of health.
Isn't AFib also an electrical pulse issue?
Exactly what it is. It's electrical energy not running through the heart correctly. There's many reasons why that happens, but mostly it's because the body is freaked out. Now, another aspect of AFib that nobody ever talks about is atrial fibrillation, this improper or ineffective conduction of electricity through the heart, is dependent on something called connective tissue. Connective tissue forms a skeleton with which the heart hangs on. The heart hangs on this connective tissue, and the connective tissue is responsible for electrifying and feeding all of the cells. When the connective tissue breaks down, and one of the main reasons that happens is from nutritional deficiencies, when the connective tissue breaks down, the heart becomes weaker, electrical energy doesn't flow through as effectively. This is why vitamin C and vitamin C deficiency causes heart disease. It's because you can't make connective tissue without vitamin C. So something as simple as vitamin C can be one of the most powerful health tools you could ever use for preventing or reversing heart disease once it already occurs.
If you take different kinds of supplements that will give you, let's talk about vitamin C. Supplement 1 gives you 100%. Supplement 2 gives you 60%. Supplement 3 includes another 100% of vitamin C. So you're getting 260% of your daily required minimum.
Right.
Is that too much?
No, because the percentages are based on diseases. They're not based on health. RDA is the so-called recommended daily allowance, which I call the ridiculous deficiency allowance, is designed to keep to prevent deficiency diseases, but that's not the same as being healthy. See, George, just because you don't have scurvy doesn't mean the recommended daily allowance, for example, of vitamin C is around 100 milligrams, but that's just enough to keep you from getting scurvy. You need way more than that to be vitally healthy, and the same is true about vitamin A and vitamin E and zinc. They're all geared, the RDAs are all geared to keep you from getting a full-blown disease state. They're not designed to keep you maximally healthy. For the most part, with some exceptions, very slight exceptions, you cannot overdose on vitamins. And there are some exceptions, but even then, you're not going to die from an overdose. You just might go into a hypervitamin state. You might get a little, you might put a little stress on your liver if you take ridiculous amounts of vitamin A, for example. Minerals are a little different. You have to be a little bit more careful with some of the minerals. But it's very, very difficult to overdose on these things. And certainly the RDAs are not going to give you enough nutrition to be maximally healthy. We're leaving health on the table is what it amounts to.
We're with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. Text and tweets. Tom, what do you have back in L.A. for us?
We have a tweet from Starboy. Every day I take three 800 milligram mesalamine pills for colitis and 2,000 IU of vitamin D. Is this necessary?
Well, mesalamine is like a glorified aspirin. It's an anti-inflammatory for the...
It's a big aspirin, isn't it?
Well, it's a pharmaceutical version. It's designed to reduce inflammation in the colon. The problem is you can't play around with inflammation pharmacologically without ending up with side effects and toxicity. All drugs have side effects and toxicity. And what makes this especially unfortunate is colitis is so easy to treat. Or not treat, but to deal with, to address. I don't like the word treat. To actually correct. What you do is you got to figure out what foods you're putting into the system, especially into the, that are getting into the intestine, that are aggravating or accelerating this inflammatory response. And one of the most likely suspects is going to be flour and grains and cereals and
gluten,
bread, which contain gluten. But you know what, George? It's not always gluten. Sometimes it's something called fructan or other components that are found in onions and garlic and tomatoes and bell peppers. So what you have to do is you have to eat a food and see how you feel. We have to become detectives of our own bodies. Now, vitamin D is very important, and it's made in the intestine. It's not actually made in the intestine. It's made by bacteria in the intestine. And the vitamin D that you're taking is not nowhere near as effective or as powerful as the vitamin D that your body is actually making itself. And so once you correct the problem at the causal level, you'll be able to make your own vitamin D. You won't have to worry about supplementing but with vitamin D as much. You know, all diseases, George, are really based on the same basic pathologies. The cities are different, but the highway is the same. The city, you can use I-70 to get to Chicago, to St. Louis, to get to Detroit. I think you can in any case. But the point is that the same highway takes you to different cities. The trick to getting to a different destination is to take a different road, not to magically transform the city. You just take a different highway. You take the highway of health, which means getting on a supplement program, eating less food, relaxing the body, practicing deep breathing, using spirituality and mental strategies and emotional strategies. None of this requires a doctor. None of this requires the medical model. And that's what this is about, George. This is a message of empowerment. This is a message that says we can be our own health authorities. It's not complicated. They want us to think it's complicated. Oh, you're not smart enough to figure this thing out. Yes, we're plenty smart. All you got to do is eat the right food, make sure you're supplementing, breathing correctly, just simple basic things.
Kimberly writes, is there something for my chronic cough? I can't seem to stop coughing.
Well, coughing is actually a good thing because it's telling you your body's trying to get rid of something. So what you want to do is you want to figure out what's...
Asthmatic, maybe?
Now, it could be that she's eating the wrong foods and she's getting an inflammatory response in the lungs. Asthma, immune reactions in the lungs that cause problems with breathing are all related to something getting into the body that the body doesn't like. And the main way that things get into the body that the body doesn't like is through food. This is just common sense. Unless you're an IV drug user and you're injecting things through your skin, for the most part, when something gets into the body, it's coming in through the digestive system. When you have an inflammatory, that is a defensive response like mucus or coughing or perhaps pain or rashes on the skin or certainly digestive problems, you've got to focus on what you put into the system that the system doesn't like. And almost always you're going to find it's a food. And unfortunately, George, it's usually a food that we love. It's usually something
that's
that
right. Always is.
A lot of.
Let's go to JT in Swainsboro, Georgia. Welcome to the program, JT. Go ahead.
Thank you, George.
Sure thing.
Enjoy the show. Hello, Ben. If you don't mind, I'd like to give you a little background here. I'm a 40-year-old male, and I am always hungry, even when I'm full. I've eaten enough food to where I'm looking at myself and I'm saying, wow, I can't believe I ate that much. I'm still hungry.
Are you overweight?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And I wasn't this way before. August of last year, I got up to where, you know, I was concerned about my weight and I was prescribed Atipex. I was on that for 3 months and I had significant weight loss and I actually got into eating healthy. I was exercising. I was doing, you know, everything that I could to, you know, and I had the mindset to keep it up so that I could stay healthy. Well, after about 3 months off of the medication, I just started eating.
You went right back again, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, no, worse. Absolutely worse.
Really?
I knew what I was doing, and I kept trying to put in my willpower. It just wouldn't work. And now I'm at the point where I'm 30 pounds heavier than I was to start off with when I got the medication. And I've got this pain that's in my stomach. And I believe it's rightfully so because of the amount of food that I'm consuming. Thank goodness I go to work so that I actually have a break between, you know, eating. But I eat and I get this pain in my stomach and I continue to eat because I'm just hungry. When I'm not eating, I have pain in my esophagus and in my stomach.
Do you ever feel full, JT?
I don't.
Huh.
I don't.
All right, Ben, what's going on with him?
A couple of things. First of all, you're eating the wrong food, and that's why you're feeling the pain in your stomach when you eat. You want to isolate that pain and see what you ate maybe couple hours before, and you're probably going to find it's the same food that's associated or the same type of food that's associated with that pain. But what you're describing is a classic, I mean classic, iconic example of what nutritional deficiency, micronutrient deficiency, does to the body. When you eat, when we used to eat millions or hundreds of thousands of years ago, when we ate, we always got the micronutrients, the vitamins and minerals that the body needed to process the macronutrients, the proteins and fats and carbohydrates, because we didn't eat processed food. Today, we get lots of the protein and the fat and the carbohydrates, but we don't get the micronutrients that allow the body to use those. So consequently, we're never satisfied. This is the phenomenon where you eat Thanksgiving dinner and you're totally full, and then an hour later you're in the fridge looking for more food. It's because we don't get the vitamins and the minerals that you need to go with the macronutrients like we always did. So the body's like, well, that wasn't it. I need more food, because it's looking for the micronutrients, and we don't get it, so we eat more food. And the body said, well, that wasn't it. I need more food. And we keep going for more and more food. The good news is once you get on a nutritional supplement program, which merely replaces the nutrients that should be in the food that for thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of years were in the food, when you get on this nutritional supplement program that features the vitamins and the minerals, you're satisfied quicker. And this is why people lose weight when they get on a supplement program. It's one of the first things that happens, along with appetite suppression. Get on to go to criticalhealthnews.com or call the folks at Critical Health News and tell them you want the Healthy Start Pack, and I would do it quickly. As soon as you do it, it won't take more than a week, 7 to 10 days, you're going to start to notice that you're eating less food, you're satisfied with less food, and bonus, you're going to lose the weight too.
What about the stomach band operation?
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. They wrap a cord around the stomach. They reroute food. They make the stomach smaller. This is terrible surgery.
They cut right into you big time, don't they?
And by the way, George, after you have a surgery where they cut you open, you are at almost guaranteed to have a condition called adhesions, where scar tissue starts to stick into the various organs and tissues of the body. You're at higher risk for other health challenges, for hernias and prolapses and for fibroids and for female reproductive issues and prostate issues simply by getting cut open. You don't want to have a surgical procedure unless it's absolutely necessary, and I don't consider elective surgeries to be absolutely necessary.
First-time caller Linda in New Mexico is with us. Go ahead, Linda.
I was actually curious if you were familiar with a syndrome called Dress Syndrome, D-R-E-S-S.
It's a D-R-E-S-S Dress Syndrome?
Yes, it's a drug reactionary sonophil something. But and it's just the RESS is the actual.
And it involves. I have not heard that term. It involves. Now you're saying it involves drugs.
It's actually a response to the body. It's kind of like an anaphylactic or something in that category.
Yes,
you know,
it's
type
a
of reaction,
thing.
And it can be done with any medication, anything from antibiotics to.
I do know what you're talking about. It doesn't happen to everybody, but it can happen to certain people, basically because the body doesn't like drugs. It's a major inflammatory response, allergic inflammatory response to drugs, and it takes a while to go away. But the way you want to deal with it is by supporting the body's immune system. Most of the people who get these kinds of reactions are woefully nutritionally deficient. So you want to make sure that you're using immune-boosting nutrients. We talked about vitamin C earlier. That's one of the best. Zinc is also extremely important for helping build the immune system, reducing sugar intake, making the body stronger. The hypersensitive kind of reaction, it's really horrible what happens to the skin when people have this condition, is a sign that the body is very, very weak. So what you want to do is you want to be strengthening the body using all the nutritional strategies we just talked about, in addition to the deep breathing and relaxing, et cetera.
We're going to come back in just a moment with final questions and texts and tweets and emails for pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com, a website available for you anytime, and a toll-free number to call for information for help. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to our final segment with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. And we'll go right to your phones in just a second. More emails rolling in, Ben. My gosh, you're getting more than I am, by the way. Doc Wallach loves soft-boiled eggs, and Michael writes, I eat 3 to 5 eggs a day. I cook them over easy in a skillet with butter. Is that a good way to cook eggs?
My mouth water. Eggs are a true power food. It's very difficult to come up with a food that is more nutritionally valuable than an egg. In fact, every nutrient that a cell needs, and remember, we're made up of cells, and we're as healthy as ourselves, every nutrient that a cell needs is found in an egg, because an egg is a cell. It's not an egg, it's an egg cell. And so when you eat an egg, you're eating a cell that contains everything your cell needs. Now, you got to be careful how you cook your eggs. I like raw eggs, drop them in my smoothies every day. I've never really had a raw egg by itself, but in smoothies, they're great. But if you're going to cook an egg, make sure it's soft-boiled or poached, because you don't want to destroy those very valuable fats that are in an egg. An egg contains, in addition to all the minerals and the vitamins, it contains really important fats that are important for the brain. And cholesterol, by the way, which is your body's best friend.
Michael in Burlingame, California, wants to know, he gets stress fractures in his knees running to lose some weight. How can he strengthen his bones?
Running is really tough on the body. And, in short bursts, it's probably a good idea to do it. But long-term, long running, when you're running miles.
Too much pounding.
That's a lot of pounding on the body, especially as we get older. Make sure you're building that connective tissue. First of all, you want to stretch to help build connective tissue before you run, but make sure you're building connective tissue using connective tissue building nutrition. One third of the body is connective tissue. It's not just the joints and the tendons, but the connective tissue underlies all the cells. In fact, it is the connective tissue that feeds and nourishes and oxygenates and detoxifies the cell. So bone broth protein, love my chicken soup, homemade chicken soup, one of the all-time great nutritional foods. Our glucogel caps, let's get that at criticalhealthnews.com, glucosamine and chondroitin, and also something that's very important about glucosamine and connective tissue building supplements is you can't build connective tissue without vitamin C. Vitamin C is the key that turns on the ignition of connective tissue production. So making sure that you're getting vitamin C and using your vitamin C with your bone broth protein and with your bone broth and with your glucosamine supplements is important for helping make that connective tissue.
We're going to Beaumont, Texas, east of the Rockies. Basil's with us. Basil, go ahead.
Hello. First of all, the guy with the Bible, gold, bullets, guns, and beans.
Cornelius.
You need to stay away from the guns and bullets until you get this pardon. But anyway, we're going to move on to 20 eggs. There's a certain doctor that sometimes recommend that.
That's Dr. Wallach, who comes on the program.
Eggs have a very high level of arachidonic acid, pro-inflammatory. What's your comment on that? It produces
because it's a natural food. It has everything, a whole unprocessed food. It has everything you need. Arachidonic acid is an extremely important fatty acid. You can't make cell membranes without it. But in an egg, you also have other fatty acids that help balance out the arachidonic acid. It's a complete food, and this is why you want to be most of your calories, as much as your calories as you can get, to come from whole, complete foods. Whole, complete foods in nature have all the nutrients that you need in order to process all of the substances in the food, and everything's in perfect balance. Yes, there's arachidonic acid, but there's also omega-3 fatty acids and vitamin E and lecithin and other substances that help the body utilize the arachidonic acid.
Can you replace it with supplements?
Eggs?
Yes, basically, no, you can.
Absolutely not. An egg is God's gift to humanity, and there is no way that there is a nutritional supplement that can replace an egg. That is the perfect food, the ultimate food. I mean, if you were going to design the perfect food for an animal to eat, that's exactly what it would be. Again, because an egg is an egg cell. It's a cell. You're eating cells. And we are only as healthy as ourselves. This is one of the hidden sources of our misunderstanding about how the body works. The body's not made of organs. It's made of cells. So we have doctors telling us it's our gallbladder that's messed up. No, it's your gallbladder cell and your heart cell. We don't have heart disease. We have heart cell disease. And so anything you can do to feed the cell has a menu from which it eats, George, and there's no drugs on the menu. The menu is 3.5 billion years old. And for 3.5 billion years, these cells have eaten the same foods, had the same menu. It's only been the last 200 years that we've created these frankenfoods, these processed foods that the body has no idea what to do with, and the cell has no idea what to do with, on top of the medicines that we take and the chemical toxicity that we're subjecting ourselves to.
Let's go to Tom with a final text or tweet back in L.A.
Yeah, we'll do a text from Jolene in New York. I'm 23 and need to lose a little weight. I have seen this product called Ensure. Is that just for old people, or is it a good product I can use?
Terrible product.
Is that a milk product?
No, it's a fake nutrition product filled with corn syrup. I think corn syrup's the first ingredient. It's an awful product. It's it's like our Beyond Tangy Tangerine, except it's got all this sugar in it and horrible chemicals, preservatives and such. It's a nutritional drink. They give it for older folks because it's easy to process, and drinks tend to be easier for the body to process than foods, because especially if you have a weak digestive system, the nutrients go right to work. But Ensure is just a horrible formulation. It's a standard pharmacy thing, and I've been using it. I've been seeing it in my pharmacies for years. Pharmacies I've worked in for years. It's just an awful formulation. Get on the Beyond Tangy Tangerine. Much better choice.
Annie in Alabama's turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Annie.
Hello. Hey, I had a cardiac arrest with sodium of 113, and my doctor told me I couldn't have any salt, and I found out that the doctor has Munchausen by proxy, and he was deliberately poisoning me. just so that he could keep me really sick, to keep me coming back on a regular basis.
Jesus.
So he could profit by checking my potassium and checking my sodium, and he was running two scams.
Well, we don't know about the doctor, but what about what he recommended, Ben?
You know, salt is one of the, you can add that to the list of misunderstood substances that we interact
with. It's actually pretty good for you,
it's
isn't it?
It's darn good for you, George.
The right kind of salt.
The right kind of salt, but here's the thing about salt. The kidneys are the problem, not the salt. The kidneys are very sensitive to blood toxicity, especially from sugar, and once the kidneys break down, we don't process salt correctly. And so the medical folks will say, oh, you got to go on a low-salt diet. No. Salt is incredibly important, and by salt I mean sodium chloride table salt, but also, like you say, Celtic sea salt and Himalayan salt that have all the minerals in them. Salts is really a chemical term that refers to minerals. The kidney regulates the minerals, and when the kidney gets messed up, that's when the salt gets messed up. So work on the kidneys. How do you work on the kidneys? You know, kidney disease is another one of those epidemics, George, and as anyone who's got dialysis on dialysis will tell you, you don't want anything messing up your kidneys. The kidneys are so amazing because 85% of your kidney function can be lost before you go into full-blown kidney failure. In other words, there's so much redundancy in the kidneys. You got two of them, and even each one of those, all you need to have is 20% of them functional in order to be functioning. So work on the kidneys. The way you work on the kidneys is by keeping your sugar under control. And you get on, first of all, you eliminate the sugar or reduce your sugar intake, but then use supplements that help the body process sugar. And you know what, George? You don't have to be diagnosed as a diabetic to benefit from these things.
That's right.
Anything you can do to help your blood sugar. That means use chromium vanadium, the sweeties from Longevity. Make sure you're using magnesium. Make sure you're using the amino acids arginine and taurine and alpha-lipoic acid and sulfur and selenium. These are wonderful nutrients that you can use to help the body process sugar. Niacin, another incredible supplement for helping the body process sugar. Focus on the sugar. It's not the salt. It's not the cholesterol. It's not the fat. It's the sugar.
Aldia wants to know about shortness of breath and ability to inhale and exhale. What the heck's going on there?
Well, assuming she's not a smoker, the number one problem with when you have respiratory issues is COPD, and the number one cause of COPD is going to be smoking. So she, assuming she's not a smoker, she is, that's obviously...
She does not say.
That's going to be a problem. The second thing that you want to look for is food intolerances. When you have food intolerance, that can activate an immune system problem. And then the third element is psychological stressors. Anything that activates the body's fight or flight response is going to make it a little bit more difficult to breathe, at least to breathe deeply. So you can reverse that by sitting on the couch and practicing slow, deep, rhythmic, I call it SDR breathing. And also, by the way, George, when you do your breathing, you always want to exhale a little bit more than you inhale. It's better to give than it is to receive. And in the body, the relaxation response is tied into the exhalation as you blow out. In fact, you know, George, you can activate the relaxation response, which will boost your immune system, help you fight cancer, lower your blood pressure, by simply sighing, making a sound like this. Like just doing that. That alone will tell the body that all is right in the world, and you'll activate your healing and growth and repair and immune system responses.
Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com. Scott in Columbia, Missouri is with us now. Hey, Scott, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there. Hey. Thanks for holding, Scott.
Hey, great. Just love your show.
Thank you.
And Ben, what a fantastic service. Hey, I've got a question. Doctors can't figure it out. I have thyroid issue, hypothyroid, and I'm at like 150 on my TSH level.
Normal is like... Here's how you deal with the thyroid. And by the way, you're in good company. Hypothyroidism is another epidemic, and that's diagnosed hypothyroidism. There's probably many millions of Americans who have a poorly functioning thyroid that aren't diagnosed. The thyroid regulates everything in the body. It's the major control point, energy channeling point in the body. It directs energy to every one of the organs. Once the thyroid starts to slow down, every disease occurs. I call the thyroid the jump, or hypothyroidism, the jumping off point to all diseases. Here's the thing about the thyroid. The thyroid is responsive to three factors, and only three in the body. Not only three, but three main factors. The stress system, which is housed in the adrenal glands, the blood sugar system, which we've talked about today, and we talk about all the time, and the digestive system. That means if you're hypothyroid, and many millions of Americans are, whether it's Hashimoto's thyroiditis, or which is the major cause of hypothyroidism, whatever it is, calm the body down first and foremost. Practice your slow, deep breathing. Use hot water, massage, visualization techniques, anything you can do to relax the adrenal stress. The second thing is stabilize your blood sugar. Make sure you're doing all the things we talked about in terms of supplements, the chromium, vanadium, magnesium, taurine, and keeping your sugar intake down, eating more protein, making sure you're getting good fats, and then work on digestive health. The interesting thing about the digestive system is not only does the digestive system regulate the thyroid, but the thyroid regulates the digestive system, so you get a big circle where the digestive system messes up the thyroid, which messes up the digestive system, which messes up the thyroid, and you get this downward spiral of hypothyroidism and disease. How do you stop it? Get on, do a food diary and an elimination diet. Use our product called Swero-V. It will kind of guide you into a fast and then guide you into a 2 or 3 day period where you're not eating food. And then you do a food diary where you write down everything you eat and then how your body responds to those foods, and you start eliminating problem foods. And you use some probiotics and work on digestive health. That will take care of your hypothyroidism. Calm the body down, stabilize the blood sugar, and work on your digestive system.
Ben, the FDA says 36 people have died recently as a result of kratom. Kratom, of course, is a tea leaf plant. It is from a tropical plant in Southeast Asia. It's been crossing borders in the United States for years. People drink it in tea. They take it in a pill form. Some call kratom the herb that can give you superhuman strength. What do you think of that?
I'm not a big believer in any drugs, but if you have chronic pain and you don't want to do opiates, kratom has some really interesting anti-pain properties.
People ODing on this stuff?
Yeah, you can definitely OD on kratom. I personally think something called CBD, which is a cannabinoid extract, is much more powerful for folks dealing with pain and has anti-anxiety properties. As far as kratom goes, though, it's probably better for you than Prozac and other kinds of drugs that people take on a prescription basis. But it is a drug. It's a stimulant in small amounts. It's a sedative in large amounts. It can cause psychotic episodes. I'm not a fan.
You're not a fan?
I'm not a fan of kratom, no.
We've got two more minutes left. Let's take a quick call from Stan in Fresno, California. Go ahead, Stanley.
Good evening, George. And then I have a very good success story. And a while back, my girlfriend has had breast cancer, and you had mentioned something about shark cartilage and cumin.
Yeah.
And so I had mentioned it to a local natural ranch food store in Fresno, and the guy said, yeah, he said, here's what you do. We went ahead and took 750 milligrams of the cumin, mm-hmm, three times a day. Mm-hmm. We took 100% shark cartilage, mm-hmm, and we took four pills. I gave her four pills three times a day, and then the doctor himself had put her on letrozole, which blocks the estrogen, which the cancer feeds on. Well, guess what? He was a nervous wreck. They were going to take her breast off. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do what the guy at the health food store said. And the doctor was a nervous wreck. So he says, okay, well, I'll let you do it. But so we did, and we went ahead, and the results were phenomenal. And he just it get better about 6 weeks later. It
Jeez,
was,
six
it was
weeks? That's it?
Isn't that amazing?
Getting better and better. And awesome. And now she's, there's no, the doctor, 2 years and 1 month later, he can't even find the tumor in there. Awesome. Her breast is back to normal, not all sunken in. And he says she's 100%.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Isn't that awesome? What's your name, sir? Tell me.
It's Stan from Fresno, California.
And that's a story everybody has to hear. And while that's amazing to Stan, I'm sure, and to the doctor, these are the stories I hear all the time, George. I've heard them for 19 years that I've been working with Longevity, for 35 years that I've been a pharmacist. These kinds of things are possible. What Stan has experienced and his girlfriend has experienced, if one person can experience, if one body can do this, anybody can. It's in the body.
They're miracle stories, Ben, and they're critical. Healthnews.com. And, of course, call 1-855-949-7234.